Morning and God bless you, and I'd like to open with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the greatness of your word. I thank you that we can just believe ourselves happy, that we can be blessed by what we hear that you have given us through Jesus Christ as we talk about abundant living. Take your Bibles, please, and go to John chapter 10. I heard a poem about 40 years ago that really touched my heart and changed my life. And it goes like this. You don't have to tell how you live each day. You don't have to say if you work or you play. A tried, true barometer serves in its place. However you live, it will show in your face. The faults, the deceit that you bear in your heart will not stay inside where it first got a start. For sinew and blood or a thin veil of lace, what you wear in your heart, you'll wear in your face. If your life is unselfish, if for others you live, if not for not what you get, but how much you can give, if you live close to God in His infinite grace, you don't have to tell it. It shows in your face. Folks, after 39 years in ministry, I am still amazed, I am still flabbergasted by how many sad-looking, miserable Christians I see throughout the day. I have to wonder, my goodness gracious, Jesus died for you on the cross. God raised him from the dead 3 days later. You have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. You have just had a dump truck from heaven back up to your life and dump God's blessings all over you. What do we have to be unhappy about? What do we have to look like we've lost our best friend day after day, week after week? Look, I understand when something tragic has happened, everybody can be sad then, but folks, why not make a habit of being happy rather than have a habit of being angry and frustrated all the time? I figured it out. God told me why. Here's the big mystery. He said, Peg, people just don't accept my love. If you really, really believed how much God loved you, you would have a smile on your face so big it would take a plastic surgeon to get it off. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You know why there's so many weak and puny Christians that can't believe beyond their nose these days? Because they don't have the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a belief that love, God loves you. He's crazy mad about you. He's in love with you. He's head over heels for you. You're his favorite child. And God's the only parent in the world, I guess, that could say that to every one of his millions of kids. You're all my favorite. Well, in John chapter 10, in verse 10, a very familiar verse, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. If you have any of that in your life, then you know the source. You know where it's coming from. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, with a capital L, a capital I, a capital F, and a capital E, and that they might have it more abundantly. You know what, folks? I'm thinking about what my face looks like when I'm alone, let alone when I'm in front of somebody else, because I want to bring the joy of the Lord into their presence. I want to manifest through my countenance. Through my countenance. Isn't that a great word, countenance? That I have an abundant life. I want to manifest that to Chris. I want to manifest it to my dog, Jack. I certainly want to manifest it to you. And I'm not talking about being a phony. I'm talking about getting it. I'm talking about living it to the end, that it just makes you happy. I know that I was talking to a friend the other day and they were kind of down and out. And I said, you know, David encouraged himself in the Lord. And you know what that means? It means he prayed himself happy. He just started counting his blessings and thinking of all the Lord had given him. And you cannot do that without a big old 1,000-watt smile coming across your face. I don't care if you're by yourself. So when Jesus said these words in John 10:10, here we go. He either lied or he told the truth, that he really came that we could have a more abundant life. And the greatest challenge I see in the church today is the children of God simply don't believe that verse. Brethren and sisterin, these things ought not so to be. You know what it makes me think of? It makes me think of Egypt. And here those Israelites, those Hebrews, had been in hard bondage. I mean, rough life. Most of us cannot even imagine the life they lived, living in hovels, the king telling them to kill their firstborn male children, all their male children actually, making bricks without straw, having to build these buildings all the time and getting just peanuts. I mean, could barely scratch out a living. God comes along and does 10 miraculous events and then gives them the institution of the memorial of Passover. And they left there over 3 million with not one feeble knee among them, and they couldn't wait for Moses to leave so they could make the golden calf. What? We look at them and think, they're crazy. What's wrong with them? Well, honey, you point one finger at somebody else. Whoops! What have we been given? We had something greater than the 10 plagues. We had a man die and resurrected from the dead, never to die again. Everybody before Jesus that got raised from the dead died again, not Jesus. He was bodily resurrected in his new spiritual body and is seated at the right hand of God. And yet the huge majority of those people that got deliverance, fantastic, phenomenal, stupendous deliverance, went around looking like they lost their best friend day in and day out, grumbling, complaining, miserable, and then they died. Do you realize out of that 3 million people, only a handful, the families of Caleb and Joshua, made it into what's called the promised land? Because of their grumbling and complaining and lack of believing that God, Jehovah, really loved them, this is hard to do, folks, but they did it. They turned an 11-day journey into a 40-year trek. They turned an 11-day journey. You wonder why some things you've been praying for have been taking so long to make it to your front door? Check your attitude. You don't have to tell how you live each day. It's going to show in your face. You are a written epistle known and read of all men. And those grumblers and complainers never made it into the promised land. Just like you can be a born-again Christian, and if you're a grumbler and a complainer, you're never going to live in the land of promises. Over 900. I want to share a little truth with you today. Here we go, folks. God is love. That's it. Now, he manifests that love a lot of different ways, but the chewy caramel center, the core of cores, the heart of hearts, God is love. He's not just loving. It's not something he does occasionally or even most of the time. It's who God is all the time. And here's something, you know, that'll blow your mind. He has no hidden agenda. You know, a lot of people in life that try to act nice to us, they do nice things for us because they want something in return. You hear the term all the time, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. Folks, that is not God. God is not a man that he should lie, that he should manipulate, that he should shimmy-sham the truth. See, this is so hard for us to grasp, that God has no ulterior motive other than to love you. Everything in this Bible, everything he tells you by revelation, you know what God is? He is right up front. My child, I love you. I want you to be blessed in every area of your life. If there's an area of your life you're not blessed in, it's simply because you haven't opened your heart and trusted me, believed in my unconditional love for you. God is love. Peg, I didn't do this. I'm imperfect. It says in Psalms, he knows our frame, that we're dust. Jesus does too. That's why he gave us the Comforter, to help us even when we need to renew our mind. Even to renew our mind. Now that's abundant living, when you know you can go to God and get help renewing your mind. That's a metanoeo. That's a step to the next level. That's a paradigm shift. That's what true repentance is taking your mind to a higher level of believing about yourself, about God, about life. I think it's interesting that it says in Ephesians, he has made you sit in the heavenlies. See, we don't have the confidence to do that. He set us there anyway. He made you a legal heir to his kingdom. A legal heir. God wrote a will and testament and said, here, you're my heir. You're a joint heir with Christ. And because of his accomplished work, you are redeemed. You are righteous. You are justified. You are sanctified. You are wise. You are eternal. You are eternal. You are supernatural. And he has blessed you with perfect health, with all of your needs supplied, so that you are supposed to have more than enough. You are already blessed physically, mentally, spiritually, financially. But you have to reach out and claim it. Take your inheritance with a grateful heart, not with haughtiness and pride, but with humility and thanksgiving. Then you are complete in Christ. You are completely, completely complete in the practical side of life. Honey, God has made you lovely and loving. When you don't believe you're lovely, or you aren't acting in a loving manner, you're not walking in God's love. You're not walking in the abundant life. But when you are taking the place of the absent Christ, recognizing that you are lovely. And then you reach out to others and you are loving. Why? Because you have an abundance of love. You have an abundance of joy. You have an abundance of peace. You know, you can't give out of your need. You can only give out of your abundance. And that's why God gave you the abundant life, so that you would have more than enough to give others. Now, yes, we all have our long suits in giving. But we know by the fact that God gave every believer 9 manifestations, his desire is for you to have everything available, not to limit him. And so he filled you with his love, with his peace, with his joy. He filled you with his divine nature. And when you're focused on that, folks, there is no problem in life that can rattle your cage. Why? Because you are living in divine union with the Creator of the heaven and earth, and he's got your back. He's got your back. I've recently been teaching about the confidence that the disciples had when they woke up with Jesus every day for 3 years. Nothing in life bothered them. Their family was sick. They went to Jesus. They had a toothache. They went to Jesus. They needed money for this activity. They went to Jesus. And then they did according to what Jesus directed them. God, through Jesus, gave the wisdom. They, in their believing, acted upon that wisdom. Man, that's how it works. Bam, 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 bam. Fellow laborers together with God. But I want to read a page to you out of a E.W. Kenyon book called The Hidden Man that really kind of sparked this teaching. And this is what it says. Now listen carefully. One cannot grow in righteousness. He may grow in righteousness consciousness. In other words, being aware of your righteousness, but he already is the righteousness of God in Christ. Boy, that verse alone right there, that sentence alone is worth the whole day. You cannot grow in sonship. You may grow in sonship consciousness and learn to enjoy his privileges and rights in the family, but you can grow in grace. In other words, a realization of what God has placed in you through Christ. That's my commentary. Growing in grace is a realization of what God has placed in you through Christ and believing it. Back to Kenyon. You cannot grow in redemption. You may grow in the knowledge of what that redemption means. You may grow in fellowship. You may grow in believing. Your fellowship will be measured by your personal sharing, heart to heart, with the Master, and with one another, the riches of His grace. Believing is a tender plant. It cannot stand the harsh winds of sense knowledge. It can be crowded out of its seat and out of its place without suffering. Believing must be fed continually upon the Word of God and upon our acting on that Word. See, here's me. This is Peg. You cannot grow in faith. You've got the faith of Jesus Christ, but you grow in believing by exercising it. Back to Kenyon. Simply reading the Word, meditating on the Word, will not build believing. It will build the capacity for believing. But believing is only built when that Word becomes a part of our daily use and our daily conduct, a part of our daily speech and thought. Look, I can read 100 books on exercise, why it's good to walk 30 minutes a day, why it's good to eat healthy. I can read it, I can master it, I could teach a class on it. But I learned more about it in the last 2 years by doing it than I had all the years previously, because I really learned how to apply healthy living, how to apply healthy eating, and the benefits are obvious. Same thing with believing. Now, faith comes by hearing, because it's through the Word of God that we have the faith of Jesus Christ. But believing can be increased only when we act. Only when we act upon the Word. Back to Kenyon. Listen to this one, boy. This is awesome. As believing grows stronger, Satan's dominion over us wanes. I'm going to say that again. As believing grows stronger, Satan's dominion over us wanes. Circumstances are less formidable. Fear is destroyed. As your believing grows, you begin to possess your rights in Christ. You begin to take what belongs to you. At first, you take the things over that you have merely hoped for before. You have hoped for money. Now, by believing, you have it. A second thing you begin to enjoy, what you formerly, quote, mentally assented to. You have said, quote, yes, by His stripes I'm healed, but I'm still sick, end of quote. You have agreed with the Word, but you have not acted upon it. You have merely assented to it. Now you have reached the place where you no longer hope for it. By believing, you look up and say, quote, Father, I thank You that I am what You say I am, end of quote. When you start acting on believing, what you have mentally assented to in the past, you now possess. Look at this. Believing is possessing. Believing is having. Believing is manifesting what you pray for. Believing is possessing what you assented to for years you now enjoy. Believing grows in an atmosphere of confession of the Word. We are not speaking of confession of sin. It is our confession of what we are in Christ, what Christ is in us, and what the Word is in our lips of believing. The Word in your lips becomes a living thing, just as the Word in Jesus' lips could rule the sea, the winds and the waves, even the fish of the sea. So His Word now in your lips will take the place of Christ on earth. Wow! That is abundant living. That, my friends, is the more abundant life. That is what we were born to do, to live in that kind of power, that kind of peace. You know, somebody told me a long time ago, go around all day smiling because people will wonder what you've been up to. I'll tell you one thing, when you go around smiling, people certainly want to know why you're smiling. And what a great opportunity and open door that is to witness and share the love of God. You know, it takes fewer muscles to smile than it does to frown, so quit wearing yourself out. People said to me one time, why do you laugh all the time when you teach? I just thought they had two heads. I looked back at them and said, because I'm happy. I read this Word and it makes me happy. I read who I am in Christ and it fills me with joy. I don't read this Word and come away beating myself up and telling myself how far I've missed the mark. I come away from this Word thinking, my God loves me in spite of my imperfections. My God loves me because He cleaned me up through Christ. I don't have to be good enough to receive His promises. I just have to believe to receive His promises. Man, oh man, I'm a spirit being. I'm happy because I know before the new birth I was spiritually dead, but now it's a whole new ball game, baby. And I'm up at bat. I realize when I read this Word, I can walk in the miracles of Jesus, that the works that He did, I can do and more in quantity. I am like Abraham. I'm like Deborah. I'm like David. I'm like Paul. I'm like Peter. I walk in the realm of the miraculous. I walk like these people that are written about in this book. And so do you, if you'll just do it. Just do it. And the secret of the more abundant life is just believe that God loves you and live in divine union with Him. Because you know what, people? This is all about our spirit gaining mastery over our senses. That we believe what the Word says more than we believe the circumstances that surround us. That's metanoeo. Go to Colossians chapter 1, please. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 26. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now, right now, is made manifest to His saints, that's you and me. 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. People, 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 remember the first time you ever heard, it's Christ in you, it's Christ in you, it's Christ in you. Man, you had a smile across your face. You had a feeling that bubbled up in your heart like you owned one side of the street and you're thinking about buying the other side. The sky was the limit. What happened? People, your daddy's rich. Your daddy's rich. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your need according to His poverty. No, according to His riches in glory by, through Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, trust in the living God. Trust in the living God who gives us richly, richly all things to enjoy. People, money is one way that the world looks at riches, but God's riches encompass so much more. It includes your finances. But how many people do you know that are very rich and they are miserable? And they couldn't smile if somebody paid them. And their kids are a wreck and they're on drugs and they're having affairs and they are miserable people. I wouldn't want to spend 5 minutes in their company except to share the word with them. They're downers. People rich encompasses so much more. It encompasses having peace. It encompasses knowing that when you have a problem, you have a backup plan, Jehovah Jireh. That when you aren't feeling well, you've got a God, Jehovah Rapha, that has already healed you 2,000 years ago. That when a problem is coming at you in life, you've got God who is your banner, the one who goes before you and fights your battles, Jehovah Nissi. Psalm 50 verse 10 says, God owns every beast of the forest is mine and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. It is nothing to God to supply your needs. He doesn't break a sweat. These things that you bite your fingernails down with the fourth knuckle and you lay awake at night thinking, how's this going to work out? How's this going to work out? Man, if you would just take it to your daddy. He is rich. And down south they say, and your mama's good looking. Hush, little baby, don't you cry. Your daddy's rich. Your older brother is rich. You are a joint heir. God gave you a brand new life. He wrote a will and testament, and you got to walk up to the attorney's bench of heaven and claim your rights as an heir of the one true God, as the creator of the heavens and earth. The old life we used to live has passed away. So cut the cord. Quit going back to those negative thought patterns. Quit going back to the fear, doubt, and worry. Why are so many Christians today still trying to live a retread of the old life? Bring God in. Bring Him in. Man, what is Christ in you? What is Christ in you? It is the power that raised Jesus from the dead, a man who had been dead for 3 days, so he stunk. His body was right on that cusp of beginning to corrupt. It is the power that raised Jesus from the dead, never to die again. That power is resident right now, today, in your physical body. Yesterday I woke up and there was a thick haze all around the mountains, and I could look up and actually see the sun through the haze. I could see the sun. I could see the perfect ball and even glance at it for a few seconds. Normally, you can't look at the sun. It's just too bright. It just hurts your eyes. And all I could think of was, now we see through a glass darkly. Now we see through a glass darkly. We got to get our foot off the hose. We got to turn the spigot on and let the power of the living God shine through our eyes, through our hands, through our touch, definitely through our speech. Through our speech to ourselves, through our words to others. Because Christ in you, listen to me, folks, it is Christ's eyes behind your eyes. It is His touch behind your touch. It is His heart behind your heart. It is His love energizing our inability to love with our five senses. The only way we love somebody properly is to love them with the love of God. It is His faith, Christ's faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, resident in your physical body, and we turn on the tap by believing, by controlling our thinking. It is all that Christ was and is, resident, The Christ who's seated in the heavenlies at the right hand of God, resident in your physical body, abundant living? There's a reason to frown and be angry and As I tell my five-year-old great-niece, Mimi, you take that frown and turn it upside down, and she just immediately smiles. But she had to put it on. Mimi had to do something. A five-year-old can get this. Why are we so lazy? We keep beating our own head against a brick wall when it's all about simply, wow, God loves me. God loves me. He's always telling me, Peg, in your teaching, tell the kids I love them. Tell the kids I love them. Tell the kids I love them. You know why? Because when you don't use the power that he's given you, when you don't walk in your inheritance, it makes him sad, it says in Ephesians. It says it grieves the Holy Spirit. It breaks his heart when he sees you getting pushed around and bullied by the devil who Jesus Christ defeated 2,000 years ago, when you are the one who's more than a conqueror. Would you rather see your kid, you put your little 6-7-year-old kid on the bus or drop him off at school, would you rather see them succeed and have a happy day or be punched in the nose by a bully every time they turn around? Having their head rubbed in the dirt and their lunch money stolen. People, that's what Christians act like. They've been given this intense inheritance. And we run around and let the bully steal our lunch money and bloody our nose and blacken our eyes. You know why you feel so down when you see your kid hassled? You got that from God. You got those feelings of love and protection from your Heavenly Father. It is inherently instinctual to protect your child. Would the great creator of the universe, the one who made all the trees, all the cattle, all the people, everything, all within the earth that lies therein, the entire universe, would he care one whit less for you? He knows every hair on your head. He knows every thought in your heart. All he wants to see you do is wake up and use it. Throw your shoulders back and say, I am a son of God. I am what the Word of God says I am. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. People, Jesus died to give us the more abundant life. When he said, I'm come that they might have life and have it more abundantly, I repeat myself. He either lied or told the truth. Who are you going to believe, your old man, negative thoughts, or the new man that says, I am a son of God. The adversary is under my feet. I have perfect health. I have more than enough. God has supplied my needs. I have perfect peace. I know how to deal with this problem. I know how to deal with this sticky family situation. Look at Mark 9, please. We're going to close here. Mark 9. This has become my favorite verse lately. Mark 9:23. Jesus said unto him, Mark 9:23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst jump over a mountain, swim the English Channel, build a house with your bare hands? No! You know, maybe we're too much like Naaman. If God had made it so hard, maybe we'd all do it. God made it so simple that not even a child need to err therein. Jesus said unto him, the simplicity of the abundant life, if thou canst believe, trust God. Believe what? All things are possible to him that believeth. What do you do to believe? You spend time in the Word. You spend time in prayer and fellowship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ. You act. I try to put myself in a position where I have to believe God for something every day and see Him work. See His Spirit at work in my life. Little things, big things. I exercise my believing. I exercise my believing. I can read about weightlifting from now till the cows come in, and I'll never build a muscle until I exercise, lift the weight, do the stretches, do whatever. I exercise my believing. Because look at that verse, all things are possible. We limit God every day, unfortunately. God wants to give you so much more than you have right now. God is aching to give you more than you have right now. He is aching to see you turn around and say to the bully, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. Get out. It is written, thus saith the Lord." You run him away with the sword of the Spirit, the sword of faith. Believing is the one offensive lesson and the one offensive weapon in the armor of God. Everything else is defensive. And you need that too, because you need to keep his fiery darts. Somebody told me one time, they're not fiery darts, Peg, they're fiery darts. Fiery darts. He just shoots that fear, fear, fear. And we hold up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. What did I say before? That the sword of the Spirit's the offensive weapon. The word of God spoken on lips of believing. When we speak the word on lips of believing, we take the place of the absent Christ. So you know what my message is for you today, family? Is kick up your heels. Start believing that you deserve what God has given you because Christ cleaned you up. He took your filthy rags and made you white as snow. Believe who you are in Christ and have metanoeo, a paradigm shift, a paradigm shift. Go to a higher level of believing about yourself, about God, about life. Take that frown and turn it upside down because you ain't got no reason to frown, my child. Turn it around. Open yourself up to his blessings like a little child running through a field of grass with her arms in the air and the wind blowing through her hair. Freedom in Christ. The love of the Father in your life. Go for it. Gratefully receive it. Say to the Father, have the boldness to say, "Father, I open myself to receive all that you want to bless me with in the name of Jesus Christ." Change your situation by changing your believing and live, live, live the more abundant life.